Today's scripture lesson comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 32. A little short one for a title of a sermon called Moving Sidewalks. And I know everybody's looking at that title going, what? When I told that title to my wife this morning on the way to church, she goes, what's the sermon title about? I said, it's called Moving Sidewalks. And she went, what? I said, well, it's all right there in the Bible. It even talks about it. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 32. It's all about the moving sidewalk. You come right on ahead. Oh, hey, here are my notes. You make heads or tails of them?
Nope. Hey. I play the banana.
You play the banana?
Yeah.
Banana. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 32. Listen carefully to three short, powerful verses. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Stop right there. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We ask that the words that are given today, not mine, that they belong strictly to you, Father. I'm just an amplifier or a speaker. That they remind all of us, these are not self-serving words, but they are set forth to remind and teach, Father, that you are love, you are discipline, you are everything to us. And we thank you for all of it, and especially for your precious Son, Jesus, through whom we pray, and all of his children said, amen. All right, let's recap. Last Sunday, I made a startling revelation to you. Ready? I am lazy. I am terribly lazy. You remember me talking about that? I had to go back to my notes to make sure of it. I am fiercely lazy. As long as I'm moving, I'm fine. But I am fiercely lazy. If I sit down in that easy chair, you couldn't pry me out of there with dynamite. It's one of my favorite places to be. Easy chair, a book on tractors, a movie on tractors, a sound recording on tractors, anything like that. And I'm happy. And I mean it. And lazy is not the same as taking a rest. Lazy is lazy. And so just so we understand that, I want to delineate the difference here. Today we're going to be talking about moving sidewalks and taking a rest. You see, recently I saw something that reminded me of an experience I had about 3 years ago. I'm driving, and I look over at the car beside me, and a woman, and this is no slight on women, just happened to be, it was a woman driving. Could have just as easily have been a man, but I doubt it. And a woman was in this car, driving, with her elbow, holding a cigarette, a sandwich, and texting. And I said, oh my God! And I kind of became unchristian. I'm sorry to say, when we pulled up to the stoplight, I leaned out the window because I didn't want her to kill someone, let alone herself. And I went, hey! And she turned around and dropped the phone. And I went, she literally was driving in her car, smoking a cigarette, eating a sandwich, and talking, or texting on the phone. Now, the driving and eating, that's fine. I do that all the time. Ask my wife. Tell her about the laundry. She can tell you what I ate that day. Look, there's Big Mac sauce or fried chicken. This woman was in such a hurry, and it reminded me of an experience. In 1893, the first moving walkways debuted in the United States at the World's Columbian Exposition in Chicago, Illinois. Moving walkways, moving sidewalks. It had two different divisions, and it was set up so that it ran a loop down a pier in Atlantic City. It was a pretty neat thing to behold, I'm sure. You stepped onto the walkway and you just went. The walkway consisted of elevated platforms so that three different levels of people could ride around on the pier. Of course, it doesn't exist anymore. In the 1970s, Dunlop developed, are you ready for this? The Speedway system. The moving walkway, the moving sidewalk, called the Speedway system. It was invented by these fellers, Gabriel Bougelon and Paul Zupier. And I had to work on getting those pronunciations right, and I'm pretty sure I got them wrong, but it was made in Switzerland. And I had to laugh because the prototype that was built debuted in October 1984 and could move four passengers and up to 10,000 people per hour. But it was so hard to get off and on because it went so fast, people kept falling on it. And so they had to work on it. In 2002, an experimental high-speed walkway was developed. And this thing went, are you ready? 7.5 miles an hour. It went so fast that when you stepped on it, you fell over. So they slowed it down a little bit, and they figured out how to get people to stand still at 5.6 miles per hour. That's pretty fast because I know how fast I walk. They said it would save 15 minutes of your time per week and up to 10 hours per year. 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Moving walkways. How many people have ever been in an airport where they're at? I love these things, man. They are made for fat people. Let's face it. I see people out there walking, because you ever notice how they have them set like that, and then they have the regular walking area for people out there that are walking. And what they do, and this is a pretty tricky thing in the airports, they wait till the people get on the walkway, and they're standing there on the walkway, and they're moving along looking at the shops they go by. And inevitably, every time you're halfway down the moving walkway, what is the store you see that you really want to go to? Cinnabon! So you have to turn around and come back. And there's no moving walkway to come back, so I wind up looking like a big rat on a wheel in there, Cinnabon, and around and around. I love them things. Every time I had to fly, and a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, I had to go down to Atlanta, and Atlanta is a big airport. As a matter of fact, I think it's probably the biggest one in the United States. That thing is forever more long, and they have these walkways forever. And they're great for me because, as I've said, I don't run. Unless there's a bucket of chicken and an ambulance at the other end of it, I don't run. So I'm on this walkway, and I've got my briefcase. And the walkway down there, I think it was 300 feet long, and I just got on it, and I was leaned up against the rail. And I'm watching there. And do you know that people get on the walkways and actually do something crazy? They walk. What in the world are you on this thing for? Get out there. Don't make me look that bad. And they walk fast. It seems like, you know, if you walk normal, you kind of walk like this, right? When you're walking down the street. Hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. These guys get on this walkway and hey. And they're going by me at an alarming rate. They're in a hurry. And one guy, and I'm telling you, I know I'm going to pay for this at the great throne judgment, but I just couldn't help myself. One guy was walking along with a cup of coffee and his briefcase tucked under his arm and was yakking on the phone. Now, you're supposed to hold the handrail. Big sign there says, hold the handrail. And he's walking along. Blah, 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 blah. And we're coming to the end of this thing. And I see him coming. And the timing is going to be, he's going to pass me just before we get to the end of it. And there's a big sign. Moving sidewalk is ending. Please be aware of it. Blah, 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 blah. And he's looking down. Blah, 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 blah. And he's got his coffee. Blah, and I'm thinking, this guy is going to crash. And I'm a Christian. And I should say something. And so I did. Blah, 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 blah. And I said, hey, the end of the sidewalk. And the guy did this. He went, he looked at me like that. Okay, buddy. And he come off the end of that thing, and he went down, and coffee went that way, and phone and everything. And I did this when I came to the end of the thing. I went. And then you go a few more feet, and then there's another one. It's great.
It's like connect the dots. I stepped on to the next one. And I leaned over, and the thing I began to notice was how many people get on the moving walkways and go as hard as they can. And it got me to thinking about life. It stuck in my head from 3 years ago. I guess it was a sermon waiting for a trigger. How many times, brothers and sisters, do we get so wrapped up that even when there's something designed to give us a little break, we charge right past it? Greatest invention in the world. Can anybody tell me what it is? Rocking chair. I ain't even going to give you a chance. Greatest invention in the world is a rocking chair on the porch on Sunday afternoon. Nobody sits in them anymore. I can remember hearing stories. I remember as a little kid, little kid, going to my grandparents' or great uncle's house on Sunday after church, and we sat still. Now, the kids didn't. The kids were forevermore getting in trouble. Not me, because, you know, I was an angel.
Yeah, right.
He's heard my family talk about me, and they all lie. But we get lost nowadays, going faster and faster. You all know the schedule I'm working right now, and I'm not looking for any sympathy. I accepted that schedule. That's fine. I can handle it. I'm a big boy. I love to be busy. We were at a preacher's meeting yesterday. They called us in for those that are still in study, that are still licensed, to sit down and talk about our ministry. And one preacher there, God bless him, said, "I'm scared because I don't feel like I commune enough with God. And when Sunday rolls around, I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach." And I leaned over and I put my arm around him. And I said, "Let me tell you something, brother. Welcome in. Every Sunday morning as it approaches, I'm like, well, here we go again. I hope it makes sense. I hope. I didn't spend enough time with God this past week. Just didn't do it. Why? Well, there's this and that and that and this. My whole week this week wrapped up in getting prepared for a picnic at our house on Saturday and mowing my yard and remowing my yard and sweeping and mowing my yard again so that my yard looks great. And then I was all proud of how my yard looked, and my wife says, "Are you going to take the weed eater and clean up a few things?" "I sure am, honey." And I did all this work and the yard looks great, and I grabbed the weed eater. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah. I said, "It looks good enough from here." And that was my week every evening. I stood on the moving sidewalk, running. And that's life. And that three verses of Scripture lay it out very carefully. To Christians who are always in a hurry, this comes from September 3rd of Our Daily Bread. Here's some good advice from the 19th century preacher A.B. Simpson. "Beloved, have you ever thought that someday you will not have anything to try you or anyone to vex you again? There will be no opportunity in heaven to learn or to show the spirit of patience, forbearance, and long-suffering. If you are to practice these things, it must be now. Yes, each day affords countless opportunities to learn patience and rest in the Lord." Let's not waste them. God wants us to see the results, but His first concern is our growth. And I'm going to tell you right now, brothers and sisters, you don't grow standing on the moving sidewalk running for dear life. I don't know why people run. If the plane leaves, the plane leaves. I was having so much fun riding them sidewalks. When I got up to the gate, this is a true story, there wasn't a place to sit down and get on that airplane for the waiting line. And I'm telling you, this is exactly how it happened. I'm riding on the moving sidewalk. I'm sipping my strawberry slushy. I love strawberry slushies. Riding along, I'm looking up ahead. Gate 52. That's me. Plane's better. And I stepped off the sidewalk to hear this. "Now the call for general boarding. Please line up." Now, I'm not kidding you. I went, whoop, and I took 10 little steps and was the first one in line to get on the airplane. And all these other people were scrambling around to pick stuff up. And I was happy. Don't often work out like that for me. There are no moving sidewalks. By the way, in BWI Airport, I'm going to write a letter. We get lost in these things. The psalmist writer, Psalm 46, marks out these words. I should have marked it. God is our refuge, and God is our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Y'all recognize the song? Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and its mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within us and will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Listen, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Stop walking so fast when you're supposed to be resting. God's got everything in hand. He's going to do what he's going to do. And regardless of how much you think you're going to, change it, you're not going to. William Wilberforce, who was a Christian statesman of Great Britain in the late 18th century and early 19th century, once said, "I must secure more time for private devotions. I've been living far too public for me." The shortening of private devotion starves the soul. It grows lean and faint. Following a failure in Parliament, he remarked that his problems may be due to the fact that he spent less and less time in private devotions in which he could earnestly seek the will of God. He concluded, "God allowed me to stumble." That guy running on that machine, on that moving sidewalk, on that walkway, as he ran past me, I went, "Hey, did he listen?" "Nope." "Did he look at me with disdain?" "Yep." "Did he fall?" "Yes." "Did I laugh?" "Not where he could see me." But it taught me a lesson. We get to moving so fast that sometimes we don't see the signs that are right there in front of us that we are going to mess ourselves up. You see, we are too content on being busy, and that's not always a bad thing. It is a bad thing when we stop for the wrong reason. If you stop and you sit down and all you do is nothing, it's not really a rest, is it? If you stop and sit down for a moment and take that load off, then it becomes something. We're supposed to work. Exodus 34, verse 21 says, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest. That's what the moving sidewalk is for. I'm going to keep you moving forward. Just lean over on the handrail and take a little break. Try to look good at it. Smile at people as they stand next to you on it. "Hi there. Where are you going?" I'm not crazy. Make people wonder what you're up to. "Hey, do you know my Jesus?" That's what he's saying. God wants you to stop for a moment and rest. He has prepared a way for you, and he will continue you on that way. But in that moment of rest, you're not going backwards. You're not getting anything done. You're dwelling in the heart of the Lord for a moment and strengthening yourself.
For without it, your soul doesn't get fed, and you fall behind, and you become weak. And when you become weak, you open yourself up to temptation. You open yourself up to the possibility that the evil one could enter in and destroy you. And that's a very real thing. And it happens to all of us. We're too much moving on that moving sidewalk, and it can hurt us spiritually. I'm telling you that I'm in a hurry and lazy at the same time. The things that are made for you to take a moment and rest sometimes actually drive me crazy. Let me give you an example. The fast food drive-thru at McDonald's after church on Sunday. When I sit there for a whole 10 minutes waiting on my sloppy hamburger, and I'm sitting in that truck losing my mind, and the rest of my family's in the truck, oh, they're reading, or they're playing on their tablets, or they're giggling and laughing, and I'm sitting up there going, I'm hungry! Move! And nobody moves. Like, I have this power to do that. And I'm so dumb, I keep doing it. I'm sitting, put the picture in your mind of how stupid your preacher is. You ready? I'm sitting in my truck at McDonald's at the drive-thru, just ordered my Big Mac. I've got to wait a whole 10 minutes to get my food, and I'm sitting there losing my mind because I didn't have to get out of my truck and walk in the store. I'm a genius, ain't I? Go ahead, you can laugh at me. But it's the world. I'm the same guy on the moving sidewalk when I'm supposed to be taking a moment and relax. And I'm trying to go faster than what I should be. We go back to Mark for a moment. Verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. It meant they had been working and working hard. In a letter to his friends, hymn writer Wendell P. Lovelace, some of you ought to know that name, related this story. He said, one evening, a speaker friend of his was visiting the United States and wanted to make a phone call, and he went in a phone booth. Now, I know that this is a dated story, but a lot of you will know where I'm coming from. And he found it difficult to do because it was so dark inside. He couldn't find the number in the directory. He noticed there was a light in the ceiling of the phone booth, but no matter what he did, he couldn't turn it on. And he tried again, and a passerby noticed his frustration, leaned in and said, "Sir, if you want the light to turn on, you have to shut the door." To the visitor's amazement and satisfaction, he closed the door. The booth was filled with light. He located the number and made his call. In a similar way, when we draw aside in a quiet place to pray, we have to block it out. We have to stop on the moving sidewalk, hold on to the handrail, let the world go by. We'll get off of it in a minute and have to start working again. But in those moments, God has said, I want you to rest for a moment. And I want you to talk to me. Preacher yesterday said, I don't spend enough time in devotions. You know, you can, in my car, sure. Or, you know, when I'm out cutting the grass, sure. But that's not really spent time. I said, wait a minute. I said, yeah, you're in your car. And yeah, you're mowing your grass. But are you thinking about him? Are you talking about him? Are you thinking about your sermon? Are you thinking about Scripture? Yes, I am. I said, then you're communicating. God doesn't want you to come to Him unhappy. He wants you to come to Him in those moments and talk to Him. Regardless, I talk to Him all the time when I'm in the truck. One day we are going to have all the rest and all the time we need to sit down and relax. We have to do the work now, and God has provided us glimpses of that when He asks us to sit down for a minute and take a rest. Let me try it from this angle. When my labor here is over at last, and I lay these burdens down, I'll sail away home to heaven above. For my Savior I have found. I'll lay these burdens down at His feet and exchange them for a crown. I'll leave this world of sorrow and trouble when the sun of my life goes down. Oh Lord, I know I'm living on higher ground. I know because in my heart's true love I've found. And when I hear Gable's trumpet loudly sound, I'll leave this world of trouble and sorrow, for the sun of my life goes down. To this changing world I bid farewell. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'll sail away to heaven above, for my Savior I have found. I've made my plans, I'm ready to go. I'll wear a robe and crown. I'll meet my friends and loved ones up yonder when the sun of my life goes down. Oh Lord, I know I'm living on higher ground. I know because in my heart's true love I found. And when I hear Gable's trumpet loudly sound, I'll leave this world of trouble and sorrow when the sun of my life goes down. Amen. And in the final verses, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And so they went away to themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Translation, they stepped on the moving sidewalk, leaned over and held on to the rail for a moment, and took a rest. Brothers and sisters, this world moves so fast. I know that, and I can't give you a better example than what happened today. Thank you, Father. I didn't know she was coming. There's Amanda Baker, and that's a very true statement. Almost as soon as them boys breathed air on this earth, she was there helping when she could, babysitting so we could get a little time. My boys are 12 years old. Amanda has grown, has two children of her own. Life moves fast. God says, stop for a moment and rest in me. Just reach over, brothers and sisters. Step on that moving sidewalk. Grab the handrail. Lean over for a minute and take a short break. I'm here for that. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. As the sun of our life will someday go down and our world will come to an end, as our toils that we think are the most important thing in the world here continue, we truly know that there is a great rest planned for us. And we get those glimpses when we just take that moment and rest, especially when we rest in you. When we sit down on the rocking chair on the porch, when we stop to pick up the phone, when we open the Bible, when we say, Lord, I want to hear you for a moment. Maybe we just go outside and sit in the yard in an easy chair and listen to nature. We do well, Father, to constantly devote ourselves a little bit every day so the Spirit stays full and strong. So the soul does not become faint and weak. We thank you, Father, for reminding us that you have our path, that you will keep us moving forward, and that it's okay every now and then to stop for a moment. Again, I reflect to the words of your Son, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. We thank you, Father, for those words. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 25, we hear these words. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. To the one who seeks Him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And so today as we close out, if you have that need up here, take a rest here on the prayer bench. If you need me, I'm here. If you need to leave it behind, if you need to walk a little closer, as we sing this last hymn, I invite you forward.
Please stand and turn to page 500.